All right, let me confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am.
All righty, tremendous. As we're getting settled in here, welcome to our MediaBids Power Hour educational opportunity for this month. Joining us are advertising sales professionals around the world. We love hearing your voices. We love your questions. We love you participating with us and sharing the questions and observations that we're going to be covering regarding tools and techniques and strategies and resources, the things that will help you win. Whether you are selling ads into print, an e-newsletter, or your website, or ideally all three of those, whether you're selling ads in and out of your newspapers, your magazines, your niche or niche publications, whether you have free SERP, paid SERP, controlled SERP, you name it, all of you are in the same space focused on what? Ad sales, which is what we do every single month. We bring you an educational opportunity like today to be able to listen, to learn, and be able to catapult yourself forward with the things that we share with you. So we're delighted that you're here. Also, we always encourage you, clear your office desk, turn off any electronics, try to really focus on what it is we're covering here. It's not an accident that we don't put something on your screen. We don't want to create multitasking or many-tasking. The more notes you take and the more notes you make from what we're doing here means we're going to transfer the knowledge and give you the opportunity to learn specifically on the key points between Jed and myself, almost 50 years of combined ad sales experience. So let's just suggest we've been around the block more than once. And while we know what the old days look like, we are more than current with what the new days are. So, Jed, related to the new days, how about some opening words related to MediaBids and the wonderful work of you and your team behind the scenes?
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ernest. You know, as always, Ernest does a great job with these teleseminars. I always learn a lot by listening to him. Ernest is a print ad sales expert and really has a lot of valuable information that to share. So, my name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids, and we've been around since about the year 2000. We are entirely devoted to print ad sales and publications. We do a variety of different types of ad sales, but the end result is the same. We try to drive revenue to publications, primarily from advertisers who have stopped using print. We reinvigorate these advertisers by showing them the results that print can generate for them. So we do a lot of tracking of print ad results and a lot of comparing print ad results to other mediums. We're always happy to have publications participating with us. We really appreciate it. We view publications as our essential partners in all of this. So if you're a publication and would like to learn more about us, please feel free to reach out. If you are currently using us, thank you, and also feel free to reach out. So we like talking to publications. So thanks for joining us, and thanks again to Ernest for really bringing the majority of the knowledge to the call.
Well, and thank you, Jed, so much for your kind words. But respectfully, you have amazing knowledge. You absolutely know what's working and what's not. And Jed is skipping over the tens of thousands and thousands and thousands of ads that are placed over the months and years of MediaBids and the gamillions of inbound calls that they track, that they measure, and deliver revenue for their advertisers. So he's skipping humbly over that. But across Jed's keyboard and screen is some of the most insightful information ever seen in the space. Jed, I don't know anybody else that has as many ads on the left and tracking and performance on the right anywhere on the planet, all right? So those are my words for you. You might go, Ernest, we've done this for a long time. You've never said those words. Well, I'm getting better and better. So please take a look at MediaBids.com. If you're already working with them, you know what they bring. And if not, my gosh, talk to Jed, talk to their team, and it will be one of the most insightful, lively calls you've ever had. And by the way, here's a little heads up. print is not dead. In fact, they are the most valuable leads every step of the way, and we'll talk about that as we're rolling along here. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986, 3 decades ago. I launched 3 of my own publications. I was a leader in a $1 billion media group. I launched Power Hour in 1995. So over the last 21 years, we've coached and guided more than 2,000 advertising sales leaders and companies and owners and presidents in 11 time zones around the world. We also run one of the largest 200 LinkedIn groups in the world of 2.2 million. Plus, we host every Tuesday a sales academy that takes strategies like we're going to work on today, takes them very bite-sized, and goes 10 miles deep. Plus, you're interacting with me live. You can hear my voice, but I can also hear your voice. Today, in order to produce studio quality, you only hear Jed and myself, and we field your questions by email. So our Tuesday Academy, come join us. We meet at the same time every Tuesday, and you get an audio message every Monday that you listen to. You have materials that you can read, and then we talk about them on Tuesday. That's our flagship. Just come into powerhour.com, and you can learn more about that. All righty. So, Jed, today we're going to be talking about ad sales for 2017 and what is our plan. We've got lots to cover. We're going to be talking about media kits, alliances, business development, media comparisons. We'll talk about agencies. We're going to be talking about key decision makers. But before we do that, we want to sort of set the stage. We want to talk about broadly 2017. We want to have all of you thinking about it. And by the way, in our academy, starting back in August, we've already been gearing up for budget selling season. So let's lean back for just a second. If you're wondering about ad buys that are happening through the summer of this year or happening between here and the end of the year, many of those decisions were tucked into budgets that got done this time last year. So when you hear the words, gee, I don't have you in the budget, well, that's because last September you missed their window. So to put it in perspective, in September and in October, for agencies, for the largest advertisers, and the medium range advertisers, this is their season. Many of them got their budget packets in August. They work on them through September, October, and by mid-November they're done. There's a little fine-tuning in December, and poof, we're out of here. And because I've worked for a billion-dollar media group, and because we coach clients that are $1 billion, and also coach small teams that have 5 or 7 or 10, we see everything and everything in between. And do not take this conversation for, gee, if I don't have ad agencies or large national or medium-sized companies, you know, do I need to pay attention to the budget season? Actually, you do. Because even with small advertisers, what's important to recognize is every principle we're talking about here, you have the opportunity to bring along small advertisers. Remember the principle of high water raises all boats, right? Well, you are the high water for small advertisers. And even those that are medium, that maybe don't have quite the structure of the budget selling season, but they have a general awareness of what? I'd like to do well to finish my year. I'd like to be ready if it's seasonal. I'd like to be ready for the holiday end time of the year. Gee, I'm thinking about next year. I'd like to have next year be a better year than this year. That's their version of budget season. Okay? That's their version. And never miss that. We as advertising sales professionals have to have the opportunity to talk to about anybody in the room. Here at Power Hour, we help you work with the small, medium, large, and agency. We understand the language of all 4 of those groups, and likewise, we expect you as an advertising sales professional are nimble enough to know where you are and when in each conversation you're in the what we call the 3 tiers of media buyers that we'll talk a little bit more a little later on. We talk about the newbies, we talk about the pro level, we talk about the expert level, and those are some of the terms that we talk about during our Tuesday Sales Academy. So you have to think about, again, the mindset, but let's get back to the larger ones. What is their mindset? Well, let's see, I've got my year-end bonuses. Gee, I've got to perform between here and the end of the year. I've got my quota or my budget to make. By the way, that's called my continued employment, let alone my bonuses. Gee, I'm thinking already about the first quarter of next year and the budgeting that I've got to do. So why is all of that relevant? It's the state of mind. And the state of mind that we're talking about here is the state of mind that this is the time of year that every product, every service, every vendor, every ad source, every ad medium is in play. And for those of you who pause and go, gosh, I'm gritting my teeth because it's such a tough time of year to be rolling along because people say, I'm in budgets or I'm in meetings or I can't return your call because, I'm on the other side embracing it and asking you to embrace it because it's also where everything's in play. It's like a farmer. The soil's never been better tilled, more fertile, more ready to do what? Plant the crop for the next harvest. And this is your planting period. Jed, from your perspective as it relates to this time of year, any insight you might share related to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a natural break. You know, it's a time when advertisers look back at what they've done and they look ahead at what they could do. And you know, from both a business perspective and a marketing perspective. And so, you know, it's a little bit artificial. And I think that you know, if we were talking in April, I would say, you know, don't let people try to convince you that they've planned out their whole budgets for the next year, because I don't think that it really happens that way in a lot of cases. But I do think that it happens that way in enough cases that now, you know, this is the time of year where it makes sense to talk to advertisers about, you know, about what you can do for them in the new year. So, you know, I think it's a natural thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It positively is. And by the way, this is also not only where advertising media or mediums get either fired because they didn't do the job this year or hired, meaning you get tucked into budget. This is also when agencies are in play, meaning agencies who have or have not performed. So once again, an agency that's been removed from an account, maybe they're not bringing in another agency, or a new agency is coming in that's aware that the prior one was removed, maybe and possibly more open and available to talk to you about your agency's solutions, okay? Likewise, again, dancing to small and medium-sized advertisers, sometimes when there's a change of ownership, you know, a mother and father will step out and a son and daughter might step in, or a business is sold. They're going to be more apt to listen to you as they step into their new roles and hear what you have done, or if you haven't been able to make any headway, guess what, on the other side, you may get the opportunity to be able to step into that new relationship. So that's very important. Let's share some of the other trends and things that we're tracking and things we're thinking about going into the new year. Certainly, each of you have sectors and industries that you serve. You know, so for example, those of you that have specialty publications and websites and newsletters, you know, you serve the senior audience. You serve the wedding or travel space. You serve RV, snowmobile, tennis, mining and energy. Name the category. Now, we have others of you that have a broader, that are shopper publications or broader city magazines or newspapers. In that case, you have to step back and look at the categories. What 5 or 7 or 10 or 15 categories are driving the most revenue? Because you want to always stay close to the sector that you're in. You want to know their jargon. You want to know what their trends are. And you want to know what ticks in their specific space. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later when we're going in and talking about working with key decision makers. But also, you want to be thinking about your competitors. What's going on with your competitors? What big move have they made? Jed, I know your passion for chess, right? And in the middle of the game, when you're working on one of your middle game gambits, you're pausing saying, I'm making a big move. And that's what we're asking you to do. Lean back this time of the year, because it's also your time of the year to say, what big move or gambit did my competitors make, and did it work or not? Did they expand their CERC? Did they expand their team? Did they expand their distribution if they're on the free or controlled side? Did they reduce their region or their area of coverage? Sometimes by reducing, you do what? You can lower the CPM, or you can increase the quality of the reader or readership. So expanding or contracting are those big moves, because now you have to ask yourself, as you are thinking about you and your team and your plan for 2017, what's on the table? Where are your big gambits? What are the big moves that you're working on for 2017 so that when you go out and you give your presentation, which we'll talk a little later on, and you share your USP, which is what we call our unique selling proposal or proposition, that you are head and shoulders above the competitor? Because if you're just me too like everybody else, that will not be disruptive enough, and you are not going to drive sales as a result of that. So, again, another important piece. So watch your industry. Watch your competitor. Think about those big gambits that you're going to make. Think also about media spend. We talk a lot about this, Jed, with our clients. You know, it's not just what you're getting in terms of revenue, but what's actually happening? What are the total number of ads being bought in your space? Isn't it great? I've got 200 advertisers, you know, a client will say to me, and I'll say, hey, that's great, but how many total ads are actually out there? Maybe of, you know, full and half pages or key placement on the web. And they're like, well, let me go back and do my research. Gee, actually, there's 1,000. Okay, so we're getting, you know, 200 of 1,000. That means there's 800 more out there. Right? And then what percent of those are exclusively in you and not in the competitors? Who's exclusively in the competitors and not in you? Talk about some of those jaw-dropping moments, Jed, where we lean back a little bit. And then I say, now take it a step further. Roll that up with the rate cards. Grab their digital rate card. Grab their print and then roll up those dollars. And what do you see? You get market share and market penetration. You're able to see the total spend across the space. Now, by the way, this is also when companies are ready to sell in the media space, this is exactly what is done behind the scenes. But why wait until you're ready to sell or be acquired? Why would you wait that? You want that information now. It changes everything in the way that we approach what's happening in our marketplace and the way you think about 2017. And taking it one further step, your ad drop report. We've done entire educational programs, and about twice a year we cover this in our Tuesday Academy, and that is that we study the ad drops. Why did these ads go up? Why did they go down? Why did they go in? Why did they go out? How does that match up with the prospecting and our selling strategies? You've got to be asking yourself, how many of those ads that just went into a publication or into a newsletter or into a website of a competitor did you even call on in the last 30 days? Or wouldn't it be interesting to know that half the ads that got an upgrade because the medium is not delivering results? Jed, we have certainly seen, right, media groups add more exposure because they're not delivering on the ad results, right?
Yeah, no, right. I mean, I think that's become a common, you know, a common indicator for many, many advertisers. You know, I think that most advertisers now, you know, expect ads to produce results, however you want to define that.
Positively, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, right? We're going to talk about the tracking and the measurable and so forth. So, you know, Jed, how about some words about what you've seen related to 2016 and what we should expect going into 2017 related to tracking, trackability, and performance on that side?
Sure. I mean, you know, this is a little bit dangerous because I see the world from, you know, from my point of view. So I know that a lot of what I'm going to say doesn't apply to every advertiser out there. But almost all of the advertisers that we're dealing with, and most of them are regional or national companies, are tracking results and expect results in some way or another. The idea that they are going to buy a print ad and hope that it works is something which is becoming increasingly foreign to most companies. And the reason for it is that, you know, that every other medium, especially online, is telling them that they don't have to pay for an ad unless something happens, right? Unless something that is measurable happens. So then when you say to them, you know, a print ad is going to cost you, you know, $1,000, their initial response is, you know, that's an awful lot of risk. What's it going to get me? And I think that being able to answer the question of what it's going to get me, why I should risk this money, has become more and more important for print publications and to be able to answer. And there's lots of ways to answer it. You know, one of the ways that we try to answer that question is to generate results. So we're actually calculating how many people made a phone call or visited a website from each ad that we place across tens of thousands, you know, throughout any given month. But there are other ways of answering that question too. The right answer mean, it's easier to talk about the right answers than it is the wrong answers. The right answer is you know, being able to talk to a potential client about your readership and about the types of people who are reading your publication and about why they need the product or service that are being offered, and how that advertising that product or service is likely to produce a high yield. You know, the wrong answer is unfortunately something that we still hear from a lot of publications, and that is, you know, this is our circulation. You know, we've got 50,000 circulation, and the ad is, you know, the ad's $1,000. You know, end of discussion. You know, and the problem with that approach is just that given the alternatives that are available to advertisers now, it really is not a compelling, you know, a compelling argument, because you could say that you had 500,000 circulation and it wouldn't matter, because if the ad's going in front of the wrong type of people and it's not going to resonate with the readership, then, you know, then you might as well, you know, just throw your money away. So I think that advertisers have been trained through online mediums to expect that they are going to have some ability to get a return on their advertising investment. You know, you mentioned the old days, Ernest. You know, I mean, back in even as recently as, you know, like the 80s, right? You know, there was this idea that, you know, advertising was an investment. And I don't know, you know, half of it works and half of it doesn't. And the problem is I don't know which half doesn't work, right? The difference is today we know, you know, we know which half doesn't work. And people don't want to spend that half anymore. That's all the bad news, right? The great news, though, and the really encouraging news is that print publications do generate good results and do generate new customers and are generating them at a cost that is sustainable and that is oftentimes less than many other mediums, if not all other mediums. So there's a good story to tell, but you just have to have the data to be able to tell it. And I think being able to tell that story has really become, you know, I think it was critical in 2016, and I can't imagine it be any less important in 2017.
Yeah, and what Jed is saying, at least once or twice a year, Jed comes and shares just unbelievable data about ad performance, ad size, ad types. I mean, when you listen to him speak, you can hear a pin drop. And I'm on the edge of my seat, and I've been around media and ad space for 3 decades.
That's only because we block. we block people from talking.
That is not true. Take it back. the point is that there is a pin, and it is dropping. The number of ads you place and the millions of calls, you have insight like no others. And so when you're listening to Jed speak, if your advertising campaigns are not measurable and trackable, if your web ads, you're not be able to track the clicks, the views, the visits, the forms filled out, you are missing out. And as Jed said, the old days, and I remember that term, I place my ads and half of it works and half it doesn't. The problem is I don't know which half. Them their days are gone. And if you're struggling keeping advertisers, driving your revenue, or gaining new sales on the other side, it's right there. You're hearing it. So we'll come back around on that side. Other things, of course, you know, we closely watch what's going on with social media going into 2017. The days of I'll do it myself are over. Advertisers telling you, hey, I've got it dialed in, and you go to their Twitter feed, and there's not been a tweet in 2 years. The days of posting. Jed, I remember conversations. I'll never forget, there was a gentleman on the East Coast, and it went something like this. Yeah, I've amassed all these likes and blah, 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 blah. And I said, great, and then what do you do with those likes? Oh, my gosh, every 30 minutes I post that there's something going on in our city, vacation rentals, da-da-da-da, the beach, da-da-da. And this influx of all these leads and these revenues coming in, and then I'm charging advertising. Guess what? About 3 years ago, that the feed on Facebook completely changed. The days are over. Facebook has crimped all of that down, and it is tough as nails. By the way, even for we in media, publications, publishers that were banking on that platform for success, kaboom. Okay, it's not happening. Oh, it will happen, but you have to write a check. To who? To Facebook. Okay? And in fact, if you step back and think about it, today, the three biggest pipes in the world, and we covered this last month, Jed, pipe number one, Facebook, because they're determining what's coming or going, and today, your advertisers are getting less than ever, which you should, at this moment, be standing up and down and jumping with joy. Because as long as you're sharing with them the news about what's going on, for 3 years, it's gotten worse and worse and worse, or less and less and less, for them to get the visibility, which means they need what? You more than ever. Except if you use that pipe or counted on that pipe for your visibility, you know what's happened on the other side. Media channel number two is Google. Google's algorithm is going to determine that if I type in blue kangaroos in Boise, what's what I'm going to get. They're going to make that decision based on their algorithm changes that change every May and June. The third is a little secret or a little different. It's not so obvious, but it's Apple. Apple is choosing what goes on your smartphone. They're the third pipe.
Right.
Okay, look what's happening right now. 50% of the digital spend is happening between Google and Facebook. 50% of the digital spend. Oh, and another 1 or 2% happening on LinkedIn, period. So you have to think about where you're positioned and how you are positioned out there across that play. Look what's going on with YouTube. Explosion of growth. Why? Because Google owns it, and they're giving it a whole lot of love on that side of the house. And just as a little whisper, I have three children. My daughter, who's in her 20s, works in the marketing department of Google. And when I hear the things that are going on over there, it is eye-popping, their commitment to what's going down the pipe on Google. Jed, we did have a question about native ads. Remember we covered that a little while ago. Who asked about that? Karen asked about, are native ads still relevant? You want to say a little bit about 2016, 2017, what you're projecting on that side?
Sure. I mean, I think that native ads, so for those who maybe missed our teleseminar on it, when we're talking about native ads, generally we're talking about ads that relay information. They're sort of half article, half ad, right? They usually promote a product or service, but they do so in a format that is a lot like the old advertorials that you still can see today, in publications occasionally. They're popular in magazines like National Enquirer, and Star. You see them in there all the time. And some of them are just brilliant, right? Like you can't read those things and say to yourself, I don't want this product. There's usually a picture of a doctor or some poor soul who suffered from some illness since they were three, and because of this miracle potion, they were able to cure themselves. And a few years ago, native ads really caught on, not just with nutraceuticals, but with lots of kinds of products. So instead of just having an ad that says, Joe's Plumber, we can fix your toilet, right? You have a little article about Joe and his workshop and what a good job he does, and it's an ad, but it's really an advertorial. Or a native ad. And so, those continue to do well, for us in especially when it comes to a product that's not as well known, a product that requires some description, and the nutraceuticals are a good example. If there's a natural remedy for prostate, for example, for a prostate problem, if you just put together a conventional display ad and it says we can help with your prostate problem, one bottle of pills for $49.99, you're probably not going to be that likely to take it. But, an ad that explains a little bit about the dangers of prostate issues and et cetera, is going to have a little more relevancy and get a better response. So we do get better response from them. They do take up more space. So the issue for with native ads often is are they worth the extra space? And it really depends on the product. I think native ads can be a great way, especially on a local level, to kind of reintroduce an advertiser that may that's new to your publication or that is maybe has been advertising with you for a while but needs a boost in response. A native ad can be a great way to change it up and tell a different story. Native ads, but again, native ads tend to do better with products that require some description. And when they do better, they do a lot better. They'll get five calls to every one call, for example, is about what we see for the nutraceutical stuff on native ads versus straight display ads.
Perfect. And Karen, we're hoping that's helpful. The questions that have been rolling in, we'll continue to field them. Karen, you like any other further explanation on that, just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, and we're more than happy to field that or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com as a follow-up. Also, there were two questions that came in, one from David and one from Chelsea, talking about ad bundles, the bundling of print, newsletter, and a website. We have seen continue that for years and years and years. We've been doing that already with our clients and bundling that in. And the most important piece is the way you tie it right into your rates and your rate card. It all sits there together. The moment you bring it all together, everything changes in the way it's being presented. And we've done entire educational teleseminars related to that particular topic. So, Jed, thanks for the comments on native ads, and I wanted to field those two about ad bundles. And again, just to close out this point about budget selling season and the plans for the upcoming year, I wish every single day of the entire year, 365, was budget selling season. This is prime time. We began on our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy talking about it, and all we do in the months of September, October, and into November is focus on exactly the strategies related to win. In fact, this most recent Tuesday, Jed, we were focused on sales emails, sales letters, sales projections, working on the toughest accounts, the way to open those up, and then some of the creative selling ideas. And we'll touch on a couple of those briefly here. Let's talk about the second point we promised to cover, which is, our plan for selling into 2017, selling into ad agencies and key decision makers. Remember, we have a wide variety of leaders and ad sales professionals on our call. So we realize some of you are working at the highest level with agencies and nationals. Some of you are working in the medium range that have formal budgets. Some in the medium range who don't have formal budgets, and then smaller. So there's really four categories, and we nimbly have to go in and out of those. Just as a quick little visual, before I got into media sales 3 decades ago, I worked for this little bitty company called Motorola. We used to go out and sell car phones. In those days, $3,000 Jetta car phone. And the average monthly bill was $1,500. When I went out to Immokalee, the farming area, I put on my blue jeans and my cowboy boots, and I met in the homes of the farmers. They invited me to dinner. They were amazingly successful and wealthy, the first tomatoes, the first strawberries, all. But then when I came into the city, I put back my suit and tie. That was my example of, or my version of making certain I knew who I was selling to in the right way, and I just share that visual that I changed my outfit two or three times in the course of a day, depending on what was going on for that particular window. So, ad agencies, key decision makers. Jed, you already kicked it off. I mean, I don't know how else to say ad tracking. All of you could go back a decade ago, and Jed and I were talking about this. In fact, Jed, 20 years ago, 2 decades ago, there was a group in California that they did nothing but sell phone tracking lines. I helped grow their company from $1 million to $20 million in the span of 4 years. That's how far phone tracking goes back. Okay, this is not a new topic, but the world of Google and eating our lunch and the world of the web and the world of media, without having the tracking component in place, your lunch is going to be eaten on the other side. There's no way to sugarcoat this, and you've been hearing Jed and I talk about it right here once a month for a decade. So if you want to know where renewals are going...
Let's assume for one second, all right? I know it's hard to believe. Let's assume for one second that that people missed our teleseminar over the last year. It's hard to believe, but maybe they were on a sailboat trip or something. But if you did, right? Let's say you don't have tracking information from 2016. The other way of going about doing it is to get from your advertisers, and it's not going to be as scientific and it's not going to be as trustworthy, but it'll give you a general sense of how much response people get, and you can extrapolate from that all kinds of things. So, for example, if you are advertising a mattress store, and the guy in the mattress store says, I get about 3 calls every time I run an ad, he's going to give you a low number, but he's going to give you some number. And then he can say, I usually make, 1 out of every 3 people is a sale, and my mattresses sell for $1,000 each. You can then sort of come up with a picture of the types of things that your readers are buying, right? And the type of purchases that your publication is causing. And that's the kind of information that will resonate with advertisers much, much more so than a lot of the stuff that publications try, which is, if you buy 4, we'll give you 1 free. Or if you buy, sign up for a 6-issue contract, and we'll give you the annual spring supplement free. All that kind of stuff is great, but a lot of what advertisers want today, especially if you're talking about agencies and larger advertisers, is they want to know specifically what their ad dollars are likely to generate. And, you can't make a guarantee, but what you can say to them is, hey, guys, our readers accounted for something like, $100,000 in mattress sales last year. Do you want that $100,000, or should we give it to the other guy? Those kinds of conversations are becoming, at least for me, much more common.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's sort of the default. The default, if you don't have data.
So what Jed is saying is, if you have been camped on the Galapagos Islands and have not heard Jed and I for the last 10 years talking about phone tracking, we ain't never backing off, gang. I mean, this is it. This is your day. If you're already doing it, then you already have the data. You know the number of calls, the length of calls. You know which ads are pulling. You know geographically. I mean, there's all kinds of analysis that comes from this. I mean, you're able to know to measure your distribution or circulation by geography or by reader type. You're able to share time of day of the call, day of the week of the call. We've literally had advertisers be able to look at their reports, be able to say, wow, I should actually keep my lights on another hour at the end of the day. Wow, what a concept. Or how should I handle, Saturday mornings? Well, you're able to help them with that, okay? That's part of it. And if you actually add
it
value... It does, right, Jed?
Yep.
It does.
It changes everything. I mean, it changes how you approach advertisers and why advertisers buy from you. It's no longer, the risk associated with print advertising, which is sort of inherent in buying space, becomes much, much less risky when you're able to say to an advertiser, a similar business that has a similar good or service as you, they advertised with us last month and they got 27 phone calls. Now out of those 27 phone calls, based on an average close rate that you told me you make of 30%, we think you're going to sell X. So therefore, you should, that's why you should buy with us. It may become simple math, and it changes the way you approach advertisers and why they buy. And it aligns you, I think most importantly, it aligns you with other mediums, because that's exactly how other mediums are selling, and they're selling successfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly... correct, based on what you're hearing Jed share and the importance of that. And there are additional components when we're working with agencies and key decision makers. And Jed, you touched on it, even knowing the sector, knowing their jargon, knowing their buying cycle. I always love to give the example. We have a wonderful client in Canada, and they work with RV dealers. Well, RVs are big purchases, you know, and if you take a look at that space for just a moment, you think about, well, let's see, I wonder what's the average purchase of an RV? I wonder, you know, do people generally buy new or used? I wonder, once they come to the RV dealership, how many times will they come back to keep test driving and determining what is the perfect fit? And then I wonder, how far are they willing to drive to go to different dealers to sample different RVs or even a price shop? And then I wonder, you know, what is the buying cycle? Gee, if I buy an RV today, how long will I keep it? Now, take that little thread. Okay, and ask yourself the same thing. What do you know about attorneys related to that? How many calls do they get? How many times will a person contact that attorney before they engage them? How many attorneys will they shop? Which part of an attorney's business is more or less profitable? Take that out to chiropractors. Take that out to laundry, dry cleaner services. Take that out to a retail store. Take that out to a mattress store. You see, these are the kinds of things that show that you are more than just an ad salesperson. You are an ad pro. And that part is key. And if you can't bring those concepts and that jargon, that industry understanding, then quite honestly, with an ad agency and a large decision maker, even a medium-tiered size advertiser, then frankly, you're just saying, I put my shoes on and it's my job. At the end of the day, I throw my keys on the desk. If you can't answer those questions on the other side. Also remember, too, that we have varying levels of expertise from the media buyers on the other side, even at large companies, medium-sized companies, certainly, and ad agencies. Some really know print. Some really know the digital. And not everybody knows both. And that's your job to ferret out and to flesh out who knows what. We call that the newbie buyer, the pro buyer, the expert buyer. You can be walking into an agency meeting, talking to somebody who's expert on the print, but is a newbie on the digital, but they're not going to tell you that. You've got to ping them, sort of a submarine term. You've got to ping them to see what they really know and really what they bring, and you want to talk to them about their tracking expertise on the other side, much again back to Jed's point as well. Also, when we're working with agencies, media buyers, and frankly, even the prospect around the corner, big, small, or tall, I have not had a meeting with a media group, an advertising sales team, or the owner of a company without looking at their LinkedIn profile in more than a decade. All right. The other part of having success with media buyers, and we do a lot of talking about this. In fact, we had a question that came in from Max related to this. How do you make an appointment with different buyers in the same agency? And my pause to you on that, Max, is very simple. You've done your homework. You already know who the media buyers are. If I know if I'm meeting with Mary because I'm talking about advertiser X and Y, I've done my homework on LinkedIn that I need to talk to Mary, but I also want to talk to Charlie in the next cubicle. And, in fact, when I ping Mary to confirm I'm going to be there tomorrow or I'm going to be calling tomorrow, I'm going to ask her to introduce me to Charlie because there's something else I'd like to touch base with Charlie in the next cubicle, in the next room, or maybe he joins us. We call that the circle of influence. We talk about selling in and out of silos, okay? And that's often what happens in agencies and also what happens with large and even in some cases medium buyers. Well, if I'm working over here with the tech group, does sales and marketing know? Or if I'm working with sales and marketing, does HR need me because I can also help them over here? You know, so often we don't go deep enough when we're selling our media solutions, okay? So, again, some great questions, you know, tied to that. And then don't forget, during the media selling season, this budget selling season, don't forget to have fun. You know, if you think about the world of ad agencies are notorious for crazy campaigns and crazy marketing, and they're a very creative group. And when you're working with media buyers, when you're working with, in general, those that you're selling to, even if you're working with small, you know, sort of local advertisers, that's okay. You can still have fun. You start by having fun by thinking about what it is you want to do to raise your messaging and raise your marketing and raise your visibility during the budget selling season. Jed, I can remember 30 years ago that my corporate would send out budget survival kits, okay? Now get this, albeit corny as all get up, but you know the little plastic things that kids would put in their notebooks? You know, they put all their pens in and their little rulers and such, those little zipped up little plastic things that you put in your three-ring binder. Sure. I don't know what they were called, but we would put in there a couple of aspirin to make it through the budget season and a ruler to measure and a little calculator and a little chocolate bar. people remembered that. They were like grumpy the next year that they didn't get their budget survival kit. Lord knows, but guess what? We got meetings because of that. Okay, we got appointments and we got meetings, and people laughed, okay, and enjoyed. But take it a step further. We delivered fresh-baked homemade pies, and the little tagline said, hey, we'd like a piece of your advertising pie for the next year. We delivered plants that said, come grow with us. We increased our circulation by 42%. We did apple cider. Hey, things are really popping at your company and also here. Let me share with you our recent reader survey. We had some fun with it, and it was memorable. Or the media buyer or the advertiser or the owner of the company would say, all right, you wore me down. I love the pie. You got a meeting. Open your calendar. I'll see you tomorrow, Ernest, okay? So never forget to have fun, be creative. And we always get asked the question on the other side, you know, does that go out to every prospect? No, you got to do the normal, you know, here's my A prospects. They get, you know, I'll do $50 in marketing. Here are my Bs. I'll do a 20. And here's something smaller I'll do, you know, A, B, and C. So you prioritize and you roll from there. Again, some excellent questions related to that. I also want to comment because Jason talked about how do we get around millennial marketing directors. And Jason, that's kind of what we're talking about, that some of those 20-something buyers need some education, but you have to be kind of careful because the kind of things that we share here, the kind of data that you're hearing from Jed, the kind of work that we do on Tuesdays, you got to move around with a feather with the millennial buyers because they just want to tell you everything's mobile. But Jed's going to stop us right here in our tracks and say, do all of you understand that the smartest ad agencies, and Jed, I'm going to continue until you interrupt me because I know you want to finish the sentence, the smartest ad buyers from some of the companies that we know out there like ADT and ProFlowers will literally come to Jed and their team and say, here's what we'll pay you for a print lead and buy, and here's what we'll pay for a digital. Jed, please, I've opened the door. Will you step in it, please?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I think dealing with ad agencies like you describe in some cases is the easiest thing to do, and because it essentially just boils down to data. And no matter what the good or service, right, there's always a price. So there's always a price of what people are paying. And essentially what it boils down to is this, you know, is the marketing less than what it costs to generate a customer? And if you can generate a customer for less than that customer is worth, then you can't stop them from advertising. They're going to be calling you asking for more, right? And that's the best situation to be in. Right, but what you have to do in order to do that is you have to be able to explain to them what you can, the value that you bring to them, and the cost that it's going to cost to bring them a customer. So, for example, you know, Ernest brought up ProFlowers, you know, who's been a longtime client of ours. You know, they sell bouquets for about $19.99 each. You know, after you get done with shipping and handling, it usually costs about $35, but that's a different story. They know exactly what a customer is worth to them. So they have a specific calculation where they say, all right, well, you know, each customer that comes to us is worth about $75, right? So they know that if they get a call from a print ad, there's about, for them, about a 70% chance that person will turn into a long-term customer, someone who's going to be worth to them, you know, a lot of money, a lot more than they would pay us, right? And so they want more and more customers because if they can get them at that price, then it's an easy calculation for them to do. You know, now they also do a lot of online advertising, but what they see for online is that the customers that are generated, first of all, the percentage of the close rate percentage, the number of people who actually buy, is very, very small. For most online campaigns, it's less than 1%. So all this pay-per-click stuff is great, and advertisers love it, but when you boil it down and you start looking at what revenue it actually generates, the amount of revenue that it generates oftentimes is less than the revenue generated in a print ad. The advantage that online has is that it's easy to see, right? So it feels really good to start an AdWords campaign and to, you know, and to pay $4 a click and get 100 clicks. Wow, look at all these new customers I'm getting. But the truth is that most online campaigns don't generate the types of customers who stick around. They don't buy and they don't become long-term customers. And this is true for many, many mediums that are online, many types of online advertising, whether it's Facebook advertising or AdWords or banner ads or mobile ads. All of these things generate enormous response as measured by clicks, but horrible response as measured by sales. So so by getting this, by having information about the types of sales that your publication can generate, you're able to combat this argument, which is, you know, hey, we're just doing online advertising because it's so cheap. Well, is it cheap? How are you measuring cheap? Why do you say that it's so cheap? I mean, because you're paying a lot of money per sale. If we could, you know, if you're paying $50 per sale and we could come in at $25 per sale, would you advertise with us? You know, there's not an advertising agency out there that won't say yes to that, right? Because they're entirely numbers driven. So if they have this mark of we got to hit 50 and you can hit 25, the end of sales pitch. You don't have to worry about trying to get to other people in other departments. You will be in other departments. Hey, we got a guy who can get us $25, you know, $25 sales. And I'm not even suggesting that you charge them per sale. That's a whole different conversation. But what I'm saying is that if you can give them that information and say, you know, previous clients have come in at this amount, and if you can come in at an amount that's less than what they're used to paying online, and my guess is that in a lot of cases you can, they're gonna want to buy with you. There's just no question about it.
Yep, that's exactly it. And so we've been fielding the questions. Jason in North Carolina, David in Georgia, we've been working our way along here. Max in Pennsylvania, let's see, Karen in Maryland. You know, as we're kind of rolling along with these questions, and there's one other comment. Donna in Pennsylvania says, when will agencies wake up to the value of the boomer consumer? You're hearing it in living color. The truth is, when you know your data, when you know the information we're sharing here, when you have the tracking and the stats and the data on your side, the stats and data tell the story, okay, which is, by the way, the segue into the last part that we're going to cover before the top of the hour. This is exactly what feeds into your USP, your unique selling proposal and proposition. If you cannot stop the status quo, then your ad buyers of all kinds are going to say, hey, we're just happy the way things are. Hey, life is good, la, 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 we'll just keep rowing down the river, okay? So disruption and disruptive statements. Our CERC has doubled since last year. Our readership has shown an uptick. Our reader surveys have our ad tracking measures, this, and that. Those are the things that stop and interrupt the flow, and those are vitally important. And that's what goes into our media kit. That's what goes into our e-newsletter. That's what goes into our marketing campaigns. That's what goes into our voicemail messages. Everything waterfalls behind that, which also syncs up with our media kits. And our media kits, there are 20 key areas that are vitally key to our media kits. And the most recent piece we've been talking about in there are case studies. We'll probably do a dedicated teleseminar tied to case studies and the value of the aha moments of what that creates. They're very different than testimonials. We've also been doing an update about current media. When you hear me rolling along and Jed and I talking about, for example, Facebook and the throttling down, if you're not talking about that in your media kit, if you're not addressing that, then advertisers are rolling right over you saying, I can do it myself. And that is categorically absolutely false. And in your media kit, and we've been using this for the last several years, ever since Facebook began that throttling, we talk about it and we tuck that into our media kit. And that's an additional new page that we've never ever done before related to that. And I cannot stress enough the importance of role play and role playing, practicing your presentation, practicing asking the questions per page within your media kit, and fielding those specific points as well. Also, business development. You know, the point that we want to just say about your business development strategy, we've isolated and identified 26 key business selling strategies month in, month out that our advertising sales teams work on. The most important piece is that what we measure is what improves. It literally sits in the office walls of the conference rooms where sales teams meet and or on a spreadsheet if your team is smaller. And every 30 days, we're evaluating the return on investment and the work that we're applying towards that, which also include alliances with specific lead sharing groups and the way that we feed leads back and forth. The simplest way to describe an alliance is that it's like having another salesperson on your team, but they're not on your payroll. We do a lot of work with lead sharing groups, and we do a lot of shared event work with those that are not our competitors, but have exactly the same Rolodex. And last but not least, we also do just an absolute, for three decades, I've never walked into a presentation where I don't have my media solutions in front of me, my media kit with me, and in my briefcase, or if it's by phone, you know, ready to click, my media comparisons. They are absolutely mandatory in the work that we do, the side-by-side comparisons that calls out what makes us different from competitor A, B, and C. We've done entire educational programs related to that. You can go back and listen to those along the way. So we've covered a lot of ground. We want to be very respectful. We're coming up on the top of the hour. You've heard from Jed and myself talking about one part, the motivation of what you're thinking about the psychology of 2017. One part, we've talked about the specific strategies you must deploy. And the third part, we always have fun. We want you to win. We want to find the ways to disrupt the status quo that media buyers of small companies, medium, large, and agencies will engage you, will give you a meeting. But in that meeting, don't waste their time. You must be prepared. You must have the information that is going to let you lean into that meeting and command the meeting, create those aha moments, create those disruptive opportunities that a media buyer says, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And that's when you know you've accomplished your goal. When a media buyer, decision maker, large, tall, small, wide, doesn't matter, stops you, interrupts your presentation, that's when you know you're winning and you've won. And that's when you know you're going to get that ad buy, because you've said something so compelling they've either never heard it before, or they're hearing it differently, or something that you shared in your presentation is so significant that they want to know more. And that's when you know you've got them. Jed, some closing words before we wrap up for today?
Yeah, you know, I think we covered a lot, a lot of different ideas. You know, I think that you know, as the world sort of shifts towards the advertising world shifts towards a more response-based advertising, I think that, you know, there are lots of ways that publications can compete with that, and a lot of ways that publications can succeed in a result-based world. You know, I encourage you to make the effort to generate the data and use it. It makes selling a lot easier.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And everything that we do here once a month, Jed and myself, is intended to give you the tools, the resources, the strategies, the big picture. Every Tuesday in our Power Hour Sales Academy, we go granular. We take one piece with lead sharing groups. We take one piece with case studies. We show you examples. We provide you templates. We ask you to read something. We give you an audio message. And then we work on Tuesdays and we talk about it. We field your questions live. So come join us if you'd like to take this even deeper and succeed even more specifically faster. But make no mistake, given where we are in September, we have the rest of the month. We have October, and by the middle of November, 2017 is signed, sealed, delivered. Does that mean we won't sell ads in 2017? Of course we will, but isn't it nice to have a reserved front row seat and know that you're budgeted in? This is that window, okay? So, Jed, always a pleasure working here together. Thank you so much to you and the MediaBits team. For all of you who are already working with Jed and his team and you know the work they do, fabulous. For those of you that have not, Take the time to go to MediaBits.com, learn more about what they're doing, book a meeting with Jed and the team, and you will find it riveting what they share with you. And then in turn, come into our site, PowerHour.com, to learn more about the work we do with ad sales teams around the world. Jed, always a pleasure. We'll see you back next month.
Great. Thank you, Ernest. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Take care.
So long. Bye.